Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
As promised, special edition Mud at Night WEEI. Lucky to have, well, not Brad Fofe. We're unlucky to have Rob here. Hi, Rob. How you doing, buddy?
I'm playing for the tie, right?
You are.
I'm today. Playing for the you have my my issues, and but you have the excellence of Rich Hill.
Yeah, you lower the bar here, and then Rich Hill.
This is, by the way, this is the broadcast team for 2026.
Are you going to break the news right now? Yeah. The three of us are in the booth? Right. Rich, how about that curveball right there? Wow. Rich Hill joining us. Rich, thanks for coming in, man. How are you?
Thanks for having me. Rob, thanks for the invite. Really appreciate it. I'm doing well. Everything's going well. Thanks.
You come with high praise. I've heard, not only Joe Castiglione think the world of you as a person and a pitcher, but he has said on many occasions you are going to be really good at this job when you want to do it. Whenever you want to do it, whether it's radio or TV, he thinks you're going to be very good. Do you want to eventually
sports? I really do enjoy it. I enjoy talking baseball, and you know, specifically baseball, and also sports in general. But you know, Joe's the best. He's you know, one of a kind, and you know, an icon in Boston. So it's something that you know, coming from him means a lot, and you know, it's something that, you know, when it comes down the line, it's something that we'll
What's your take on Bailey Zappe? I'm testing you right now.
Yeah.
See? Let's go.
My take is I think they're going to be not a playoff team. So, I mean, let's not get our hopes up so high.
Oh, my goodness.
Right, there you go.
There's the headline right there. Rich Hill, Patriots not a playoff team.
He's not afraid to criticize. It's good. It's like, just calling it like it is.
It is what it is.
It is what it is.
I have Brady. I'm a big Brady fan. So, I think they're going to win the Super Bowl.
Really?
I don't know.
I got to scratch this itch. We'll get to some important baseball stuff in a second. But you saw a picture of Dale Arnold here in studio.
Right.
Rich and I are the same. I just realized, like, it doesn't hit me because I'm, like, really small, and he's, like, actually, like, an adult, and I'm, like, a child. Like, we're the same age. And so we grew up with EEI at, like, the same exact
time.
Same
thing, yeah.
Did you grow up as, like, an EEI guy? Were you listening to Glenn, listening to Dale, listening to the morning show?
We had him on in the car driving, you know, wherever down the Cape or to some, you know, baseball tournament right before the static kicked in and the station disappeared.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Well, right. Yeah, the antenna wasn't working.
But the first thing he says, he sees the picture of Dale. And he goes, "Is that Glenn Ordway?" And then he goes, and then he doubled down on it. He said, "Hot dog safari."
and immediately, as a radio junkie, like we were listening to the same shows, like Eddie at Suffolk Downs doing live shows. Rich.
Those were we're listening to it in the old Cadillac, the 1979.
No seatbelts.
Yeah, no, just in the back, listening to the hum of the axle and falling asleep in the back of the car. Yeah,
that's basically that's our promo, right? Listen to the hum of the axle and Mike Manansky from 8 to 9.
Well, we do. I do post game and pregame for the Red Sox, and obviously, Rich, you know, the expectations were much higher than what the result was. And I'm curious, as you look back on, now you've had a couple weeks maybe to think about it, like, where do you feel like there was a moment where you sort of realized we're not going to be the team that we thought we're going to be in spring training?
Yeah, I think, you know, obviously it's very evident when you look out at the monster and you see the standings every single day and you start to see, you know, 15 games, 16 games, you know, and then you kind of come back and you're in the 14 games, you know, 13 games, 12 games. Okay, we're making some moves and we're gaining some ground. But, I think ultimately, obviously, the goal was to, at one point in the season, to sneak into the playoffs with the wild card. Obviously, with that not happening, I think that's something that has to be addressed this offseason and retool the team to get back into that championship form, because there is no rebuilding in Boston. And, you know, you had mentioned that that it was something that wasn't going to come to fruition. But the team was built to win. You know, unfortunately, we were impeded by injuries, and I think that's something that sometimes you can use that as an organization and say that, and you hear it over and over again. And yeah, is it an excuse? 100%. But you know, this year it actually was a reality, and it's something that, you know, when you saw certain guys going down, and it became kind of a epidemic in July, where we lost a lot of players, a lot of key guys, that was something that you can't really get around to a certain point when you have so many guys going down. Now that's where I don't think it is, you know, that's the reality of it. So I'm not making an excuse for the organization, but I think that that's something that, you know, it was very difficult to navigate through. And doing the best that we could with the guys that we had. And that's no disrespect to the guys that we did have. It was just that the experience factor that comes in when you talk about the AL East and you talk about the Beast of the East, which is, you know, the toughest division in baseball, no doubt. I played for 11 organizations in the big leagues, 14 organizations total in my career, and there's no question that the AL East is the toughest division in baseball to play in.
You know, you go back to, you know, the perception of the team, the Red Sox, the 2022 Red Sox, and I remember standing on the field in Houston with you, and at that time it literally came down to like whether or not you're going to be traded. I mean, you were one of the, I think, three guys, would be fair to say, after Vasquez was traded, there were three guys we were keeping an eye on: you, Eovaldi, JD Martinez, and you knew that too, right?
Yeah, right. No, I knew that. But my observation of it was that I didn't want to go anywhere because I believed that we were going to be able to sneak into the playoffs. I did. I honestly thought that we were going to be able to get into the wild card and put ourselves in a position to do something.
But that's my point. Is that so?
Yeah.
If you look at what Haim did then, it was you held on to JD, and I don't know what he was offered, but he held on to JD, he held on to you, he held on to Eovaldi, and was there this feeling of, okay, let's go? Or was there still that discomfort because you traded one of the guys, you know, you traded Vasquez? What was that feeling heading? Because that's really, you went to Kansas City and lost a couple tough games there. What was the feeling heading into August after the trade deadline?
Well, I feel, you know, obviously getting Reese McGuire and having him come over, and he did an excellent job for
us.
He did,
yeah.
You know, behind the dish and being able to handle the staff the way he did, and I think he has a bright future in front of him as well. I think when a guy like Vasquez, who has been part of championships and such a pillar of the roster over the last, you know, half a decade in Boston, it is something where a guy like that gets traded out, there's, you know, a little bit of a reverberation through the clubhouse.
Well, JD said once that happened, we thought all of us were gone.
Yeah, I think that was, you know, and being through enough trade deadlines, you know, as a professional and what is expected, you understand that that is something that could possibly happen. So it's not such a shock when it does happen. I think, yes, when you're younger, you know, you're still, oh my gosh, I can't believe I got traded. I thought this was going to be my home forever, and this was going to be the team that I was going to, you know, be with until I retire. But that's not, you realize it's a business really quick. And I think that's something that, you know, obviously with Vasquez going to Houston and now seeing, you know, being able to have the opportunity to play in the ALCS.
Yeah, good for him, man.
As we just were caught up on, the Yankees are heading into the ALCS as well.
Here you go. Here's your prediction. Vasquez hits the game-winning home run to beat the Yankees in the World Series.
Rich's prediction better than the Patriots on our playoff team. That was a hotter take than Vasquez hitting a home run.
He was playing for the tie in takes, so saying Tampa's going to win the Super Bowl.
Yeah, it could still happen. As a Brady guy, as Team Tom over Team Bill, might be rooting for Rich Hill. Rich Hill joining us in studio. Since Rob brought the trade deadline, you know, Haim's here for the trade deadline. He flies to Houston, then additionally goes to Kansas City and has an open door. There's like multiple meetings. From the outside, it's like multiple meetings, conversations. I will be there. Were those needed, Rich, because there was some miscommunication, do you think, between the guys in the clubhouse and the front office, that trip that he made to talk to everybody and get everyone back on the same page?
No, I think it was just, I think it was, you know, from Haim's perspective, just saying like, hey, this is where we're at, and this is the team that we have, and we believe this is the team that can get us into the postseason. And I thought that was really, you know, very respectful of him coming in and talking to us as a group, as a whole. You know, it's not easy to do in front of, you know, 26 guys that, you know, just had one of their major guys in the locker room get traded away, and understanding that, you know, they're still the confidence from the front office and the coaching staff that this group has, we have the guys that can get it done. Now, obviously, we're not in that position right now, so that is something that a lot of things that happen, like I said, with the injuries, timely hitting, us taking responsibility, getting deeper in the game. What I mean by us is me personally as a starting pitcher, and I take a lot of responsibility for that, not being able to get into the sixth and seventh inning. Now, however we look at that with a multitude of different kind of outcomes that could have happened, with, numbers and matchups and however we want to color it, in my opinion, it's still my job to be able to be efficient enough to give the confidence to AC to go out there and keep me in the game. I think that's something that all of us would say that we could have done better.
You know, it's – then you go to the – at the end of the year, you have Plawecki traded, and you said what you said, but I think that you spoke for a lot of people. And this was, tough decisions have to be made in terms of rosters. But it opens up the door to a bigger conversation. And it's a conversation which I've talked about a lot in baseball these days. And we talked with Mitch Moreland, Brock Holt. You go down the line. I've talked to you about it. Where baseball is going in terms of valuing the guys in the clubhouse. Mm-hmm. The guys who are not necessarily going to hit over 200, yeah, but the guys who are really important to hold a group together. Do you think that baseball is going to come back to that? Because to me, they clearly have gone away from it a little bit in terms of roster building. It's been more of like, hey, you know what? I know that you might not necessarily be a good clubhouse guy, and I'm not, but your spin rate is really, really good. So we're going to take a flyer on it. Will it come back to that, or is it still spiraling out of control in terms of, hey, you know, we're not going to prioritize clubhouse guys?
Yeah, I think it's definitely going to come back to that, because when we talk about what the main goal of every team, what should it be, is to win the World Series. And how are you going to construct a roster that has quality guys that are, you know, that is their main goal, is to go out there and give their best, obviously, every single time that they put on the uniform. But there's pride in putting on the uniform. And there's also, you know, the ability to be there for the guy next to you and have that unselfish type of character in that player to come into a locker room and provide that type of energy. And every team that I've been on that has gone to the postseason, has gone to the World Series, I mean, I can tell you that the quality of the player and the man in the locker room was extremely important to those teams, and it meant a lot to winning. Now, yes, does winning solve a lot of problems? Sure, it does. But when you have quality guys in the locker room that, you know, can help each other out and be able to be there for each other and really connect and have that type of bond, that family type bond, and you know, not so much just a work relationship, but also outside of the field, something that definitely contributes to on the field.
And you see that, like you said, you played for a lot of teams.
Yeah.
I don't know if you know that. You played for a lot of teams. but you played for a lot of teams, and you played in some big games. You played in World Series.
Yeah.
And so you've seen the direct correlation between what you're talking about and winning teams.
Right. I mean, I'm just looking right now at my phone. I see Phillies, Padres, we got Yankees, and Houston, right? So Houston, that team has been together for a while now, okay? And they've added some really good guys to come into the clubhouse. Example, Vasquez,
yeah.
And you're looking at the Phillies, which have added some really quality
Schwarber.
Guys. Sure. Yeah, absolutely. Bryce Harper.
Yeah.
And now we're looking at the Padres, who have been together for over 5 years now, at least going on into that kind of 5 year mark, where there's been a core group of guys in that Phillies locker room that understand what the common goal is.
And you know, the guy who I would say there is really the manager. I mean, I think that,
yeah,
like that's
Bob Melvin.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean,
absolutely.
This is like you had to reel in a lot of that talent, and he would be the guy. But and then you have what's the last team? The Yankees, right?
Yeah, the Yankees. Yeah. And I mean, that's you know, there's a core group of guys there that have come together, you know, with Judge and Stanton. Stanton's been there for a little bit now. And I mean, that's the thing, where you have the guys that are coming together and you have a core group of guys, but then you're adding quality people. Hmm. And but, you know, you obviously the I think sometimes we're valuing, you know, the ability of play over, you know, what can be a detriment into the clubhouse.
So how do you do that, though, Rich? Like, how do you get, again, pick your executive to get your head out of that spreadsheet and to figure out it's not about just what the, you know, what the batting average balls in play, like, to focus on that part of it. Whose job is that? Is it players to communicate that? Is it managers? Like, how do you get that mix of both?
Yeah, I think it's everybody's. I mean, that's what, when you have a team and you have a common goal, it's from top to bottom. It doesn't matter if you're selling hot dogs or and what I mean by that is that it's everybody is in this together. Okay. And everybody has to, if you have that type of vibration or, you know, that type of external feeling that is going on, it definitely feeds over into the clubhouse. And everybody understands that they are part of this championship season. And that's what I mean, from the vendors to the, you know, the people taking tickets to the front office. It sounds, you know, a little bit off the wall, but it is. That is, yeah. it is serious. It is, yeah. Really take that into account for, you know, over the last decade and a half and how the feeling was here in Boston when championship teams were being rattled off left and right. You had the Celtics winning, the Bruins were winning.
That's, you know, another one. Patriots. That's another in your wheelhouse, right? Celtics.
Yeah. But I mean, yeah. But that, what I'm saying is that, you know, the entire city felt connected to these teams. And they felt part of these championship teams. And so, in turn, you know, to your question, Mike, is like, whose responsibility is it? It's you know, asking the questions, calling a player that might have played with these guys, you know, and you're asking, trying to form, you know, a paint a picture that is going to be close to what you're going to have coming into the clubhouse. And that's it really does matter.
But it's just because what you're saying, it sounds like the frustration I hear from fans who call on the stage. I'll give you, and your teammate Xander Bogaerts is the example. Mm-hmm. Because on the spreadsheets, he's north of 30 now. Power wasn't there. Defensive range is not there. And so maybe he's not worth whatever the certain executives think of him. The fans love the guy. He was the guy, even when Mookie Betts was here, was answering questions to the media, like, yeah, legit clubhouse leader. And so it's like, yeah, I get frustrated because, like, how does an executive not recognize that sort of value as a guy in the clubhouse?
Yeah, and I mean, you're not going to find a better guy than Xander. I mean, he is. That's it. I don't know what else to say about him. I mean, we can go on and on and on. He's probably one of the best teammates I've ever played with. And I think that, you know, the value in that alone is, what is, you know, how, you know, yeah, you, in my opinion, yes, he should be a Red Sox for life. And, you know, it is something that the movement in the game that has happened, you know, so frequently, and kids become connected to a player. And now I'm just speaking as far as, like, the health of the game and the growing of the game, where you have, and then all of a sudden, you know, I'm a big Xander Bogaerts fan as a kid, and, you know, all of a sudden he gets traded, or, you know, he signs somewhere else as a free agent. You know, now you lose that kind of connection to the team and to the player. You know, and I'm a big, you know, health of, you know, quality of where MLB is going and where they're taking the game. That's another conversation, where they're cutting minor league teams and they're cutting the draft. It's you know, drives me nuts. But as far as a guy that you can keep in the clubhouse and maintain in Xander Bogaerts, you're not going to find a better guy.
Go ahead, Rob.
No, well, I'm just saying, the, you know, it's funny you said that about the health of the game, right? I mean,
yeah,
this is a big topic of conversation now. And we have the rule changes, and, you know, we can ask you all about those, and, you know, you have opinions. So you don't have to worry about the pitch clock, though, because you don't have to worry about the pitch clock, because I don't know if you know this, but you throw the ball fast.
Yeah, well, I will have to worry about it when the implications are going to have on our team, wherever that might be. Hopefully it's here in Boston, but that's the thing, right, is that it's going to have implications on the game.
Let me ask you about that. Let me ask you about that, then. I mean, the fact is that you know, we've talked to a lot of the minor leaguers who've gone through this. I'm sure that when the rules came out,
yeah,
you talked to guys, and it seems like the one thing I can't get past, Rich, with a pitch clock is, yeah, the hitters.
Right.
The hitters, like, to have these $20 million a year guys,
yeah,
who are used to.
What about the pitchers?
Okay.
Same thing.
Let me speak for the hitters. You can speak for the pitchers.
Yeah.
Okay. but they get out, you know, and they have to be ready in 8 seconds.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Now you can speak to the
pitchers. Okay, so here's a question. This is a good question.
Okay.
Why?
Unlike my question.
Yeah.
Unlike Rob's many questions. Sorry, Rich.
When you buy a ticket to watch an event, do you want to see competition, or do you want to see it no competition. Because if you buy a ticket to an event and a clock is going to determine, I should rephrase that. Do you buy a ticket to a baseball game to see the pitcher and the hitter compete, or do you buy a ticket to watch a clock make a decision?
Okay. So I know the answer to that. I would like the competition.
Yeah.
When you say this, this is leading me to believe that in that clubhouse, I talked to Matt Strom, and I mean, like, you didn't know this, so it was on the podcast. I know you're a loyal listener, but he was very vocal about, like, this when that came down, about how, and I get the sense it was more of like, hey, you guys didn't ask us. And so when that comes down, and what you're saying, it sounds like, hey, like, let's reel back on the pitch clock a little bit. In that clubhouse, were you guys like, this isn't right?
Yeah, everybody. It's not only the pitchers, it's also the hitters. Yeah. The hitters don't want to sit there.
So the majority of that clubhouse was not on board with the rule change.
Yeah, I would say 98% of it. Some guys were like, yeah, this is going to be a good thing. You know, a few guys, probably one or two. But overall, the majority, the overwhelming.
I can't believe Franchi Cordero.
If it was Franchi, I'd be in that 2%. Because as a viewer, as a consumer of the sport, with a couple of young kids who I want to be locked into baseball, I watched their interest just drag away. And I'm forgetting his name, but the Baltimore Orioles, that last second-to-last homestand, it's the sixth inning, and on my phone, 36 pitcher? Seconds between pitches.
Pitcher?
36, yes, I'm forgetting his name now, but it was, I can pull it up.
There's definitely guys that are 100% there are guys that are like, oh, here we go. Come on, let's go. Let's pick it up. There's no doubt.
Guys who have pitched here, David Price took a long time between pitches.
There are guys that take a long time in between pitches. And yes, the other thing is that nobody's talking about that you want the kids to watch the game, but they're going to be watching a lot more commercial time too. So they increase the commercial time to decrease the time that you're going to see on the field. Right? So, the game is going to be sped up, but you're going to be watching on national games. Now it's 3 minutes and 30 seconds in between innings. I mean, are you going to fall asleep?
They're going to be on the iPad at that point. Was it the younger guys who were okay with it because they did this at the minor league level? You said 98%. That's a big number. So I'm curious who was for it.
There were a couple guys that were for it. There was one older guy and there was one younger guy. I'm not going to name names.
Oh, we're just us.
Yeah, I know. This
is
I haven't.
Come on, JD Martinez is leaving anyway. So
I haven't made the full switch. I haven't retired yet. So, the other side of it though too is that commercial times are increased. I get that the minor league games were quicker and it was great for everybody. 2.5 hour games. This was unbelievable. 2 hours and 15 minutes. I'm sorry, but the stakes are a lot smaller.
That's a great point, by the way. The innings 7 through 9. This is something in talking to some of the guys in the minor leagues.
Yeah,
Zach Kelly and these guys are like, yeah, that's all well and good, but in the minors, innings 7 through 9 don't mean nearly as much.
No, the minor leagues is a development league for the major league team. That's what it is. It's a feeder system for the big leagues. That's exactly what the minor leagues is. I know I played plenty of minor league games. I know exactly how the layout is and you got to get guys innings, you got to get their work in. That's what it is. Getting at bats, getting your work in, getting your innings out on the field as a position player.
You mentioned health of the game, which we have to take a quick commercial break and pay some bills, but the health of the game is in question right now because there are a lot of fans who all of a sudden hate the new playoff format. I'm curious if you have an opinion on some of the great teams in the regular season already knocked out. And we want to talk about what's in store for you. You've talked about maybe a creative plan for next year, maybe some Team USA. Rich Hill's joining us in studio. Rob Bradford here as well. It's Mud at Night, WEEI.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Fun at Night special hour this hour. Hanging out with Rich Hill, former and maybe future Red Sox pitcher. We'll get to that coming up. Rob Bradford here. As well, I know at the end of the year, you said you want to pitch for Team USA in the World Baseball Classic. Alex Cora said he would vouch for you. Any word from Team USA yet? Is that on track to? Is it a tryout? Is it like sure, come on and play? What's the plan look like?
Yeah, I have. You know what, that would be great. It would be an honor to, you know, obviously represent the United States and play in the World Baseball Classic. It's something that you know, I think every player would love to do and be a part of. You know, Mark DeRosa, who is the manager, we did play together when we were in Chicago. Nice. and back in the day. So, you know, I did get a text from him and obviously talking with Trevor Story a little bit. And just, you know, I just think it would be an amazing experience, but not only for that, but also to get the opportunity to win. To win a WBC.
Was it text the American flag? Or I mean,
say that again.
Was it text us an emoji of the American flag?
Yeah,
or something?
Yeah, we're just
is that saying you're on the team.
Yeah, or? That would be a great tryout. American flag. There you go. You made it.
There you go. So, but you're still waiting to hear officially? Or?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know when the team or how this all kind of comes together. Or, you know, I had just mentioned it, and you know, and a little bit of a grassroots effort, right? So I'm not very good
at trying.
Yeah, I'm not very good at promoting myself.
Yeah, Rob. We'll have a post on the website tomorrow.
Yeah, Rich Hill
reiterates.
Yeah,
wants
yeah.
To play.
I like to let the work speak for itself. Yeah. So I think that if that does enough justice, then you know, hey, that's good.
All right. So I talked to you at one point, and you were toying with the idea of like the half season thing, which made a lot of sense to me. At that point, you know, you have a son, 11-year-old.
He just turned 11.
I know that. I know exactly
Bryce.
When Bryce's
Bryce. He just had basketball tryouts.
Happy
tonight.
Birthday, Bryce. Bryce, you're doing a great job. Isolations for Bryce.
Love that.
And you made a lot of sense. Like, well, you know, you take half the year, you spend time with Bryce and your family. Then you get part of it is now I get to pick which team is doing really, really well that needs a starter, needs a pitcher, and halfway through the year, boom, here it is. But as it went on, it seemed, especially, listen, Rich, I mean, it reeked of 2015 all over again, what you did in September.
Yeah.
Like this run. And I don't know if that had anything to do sort of the different, it felt like a different narrative that you wanted to maybe play an entire year. Mm-hmm. Did your mind change as you were sort of understanding you were going to hit the finish line on a really, really good note?
Yeah. I mean, it definitely, changed as the kind of the, from the midway point right before in that July kind of month and just thinking about, okay, you know, you start thinking about, you know, post baseball, what is going on this year? Is this going to be my, you know, am I going to come back? And then, you know, obviously having a little bit of a knee injury that happened in July, which was unfortunate. That kind of brought in a little bit more thought process of what is actually going to happen. And then coming back in August and September, and historically over my career, if you look at my Septembers, they've always been pretty quality Septembers as far as I can remember. And I think that was something that obviously we start talking about a clubhouse and building a championship team and how important it is to be around a team for an entire season as opposed to a half a season. Mm. And that was something that filtered into the discussion as well. I think the other side of it is being as close to home as possible. Mm. And it doesn't get, much better than being here and playing with the Red Sox. And also, when I say that, I mean that because that they're going to put together a championship caliber club going into spring training. Mm. And being part of that, which would be great. And what I'm saying is that, staying home and being part of something special that could possibly happen is very valuable over a course of an entire season.
So the follow-up obviously is any early talks with the Red Sox about coming back next year.
Yeah, we've talked and discussed and had lunch with a few of the guys in the front office and understanding that there is obviously a mutual interest there. So, waiting to see. I know that there are other players that they're looking to obviously retain.
That's some big names out there. Yeah.
Could be the shortstop. And I understand.
So what you're saying, your deal hinges on Xander Bogaerts.
Yeah, no.
He's donating his salary to Xander Bogaerts.
Yeah,
that's
right.
What he just announced.
Right.
Well, you can make it happen. Foundation.
That's
there
it.
You go.
Make it.
There you go. Where at least part of the proceeds go to Xander Bogaerts.
That's great. So my point is that being able to stay home would be great.
And it sounds like the family is a part of that too. Like I was listening to you in the post. I did not expect you to cry on the post.
Well,
I don't know if you did either, but you definitely, it sounded like having your son around this year, definitely, did it mean more to you than you thought it did or thought it was going to here being home and having him around?
Absolutely,
in the clubhouse?
Yeah. And when you're coming off of a game and you're obviously, you have the adrenaline flowing and all that and the emotions are going. I'm a very emotional pitcher. I don't know if you guys have watched me pitch, but I take that out there because I wear it on my sleeve and it's something that, you get asked a few questions and it's not very difficult to get me. So,
well, and in fairness, Will Fleming is the Roy Firestone of our generation. So, he's gonna elicit the tears every single time.
But it was great having Bryce around, and not just having him around, having him be part of really the clubhouse and the guys. The other side of it was the way the guys were too. The guys were unbelievable, and that spoke to the clubhouse. It was an amazing group of guys. That's why it sucked so bad that we sucked. I mean, that was it. That's what was the most difficult part about it, because you look around the clubhouse and it's like everybody was pulling for each other, and it was that's what made it extremely difficult. But yeah, that is a huge part of it, is this season and the emotions and everything that came with it was being able to have Bryce part of that and my wife Caitlin too coming in and her being as much a part of it as Bryce, and we were all together, and it was great. Being able to go home after the game and sleep in your own bed, it was awesome.
So, unofficially, with these four teams left, do you think there's a rooting interest in that Red Sox clubhouse? You have the Yankees and you have the Astros on one side.
Mm-hmm.
You had the Phillies with Schwarber and the Padres on the other side. Do you feel like, I won't have you speak for the entire team, but
no.
Who you might be rooting for, if anybody here?
Well, I said the Phillies before. Before the
you picked him,
yeah.
Look at you!
Yeah.
Wow,
yeah.
we got a gambling.
Yeah.
Oh, here we go.
Oh.
Sponsorship.
Yeah, well, I don't
legal in Massachusetts.
Yeah,
can't
do that yet.
Oh, wait, baseball. Yeah,
driving up to Nashville. Driving up to the Nashville Walmart right after the show.
I said I picked him. I didn't put any money on him. I felt that they obviously a lot of ups and downs through the season and the way that they've been able to rally together and watch the way the starting pitching has performed and the bullpen has been able to come through in the last month and make this push into the postseason. It just seems like they're playing with nothing to lose. That's what they're playing. That's how they're playing. That's a dangerous team to play. When they're playing with house money and they're saying, well, nobody expected us to do anything. Obviously at the at the break with the manager, being released and having new kind of leadership come in, and I'm just happy. Rob Thompson, you know, the way being around him when I was around him in New York for a brief moment, he was a great guy, and it shows. And it's great that they're doing, you know, what they're doing.
Well, the most important thing, seeing them celebrate, and mm-hmm. I'm not going to dancing on my own thing. I'm sure it came from Schwarber and that whole song, whatever.
Yeah.
But I'm always fascinated by the protocols when it comes to the celebration. Like Dave Dombrowski, he has the backward hat and the flip-flop, and he changes out of his gear and he gets into his celebratory gear. So when you've been in these celebrations, these champagne celebrations before, what's the Rich Hill go-to? Because the J.D. Drew go-to was going home because he's just like, I'm going home.
Yeah.
And some guys, and then you have Papelbon with the beer box on his head or Arroyo. What was a Rich Hill's go-to?
Some champagne and a cigar.
That's it?
Yeah,
just
yeah.
Back not, in the
yeah,
corner?
Yeah. I like spraying everybody with champagne and just, you know, ripping bottles open. It's great. I don't know. It's just, you know, there's nothing like a postseason celebration. And
people don't understand like that it's such a long season.
Yeah.
That's why these guys act like they do.
Yeah, and it is. And I think that the one thing that, you know, you have to celebrate the victories, and every one of them is important. Winning the division, you know, getting into the postseason, you know, obviously getting into the ALCS or NLCS, and then going to the World Series. I would love to experience what it's like being the last team standing, but it is pretty special when you're, you know, the only two teams standing.
Who paid for the lunch? The lunch with the front office.
Oh, the front office.
Ooh, that's a step in the right
direction.
That's
always a good sign. Like
it's always a good sign. Things are trending well.
We got, Rich, we got this. We got it. We'll take care of it.
Did you get the...
Wait, who are the mozzarella sticks? Was that...
Yeah, because when they say we're going to split the check, not a good vibe there, Rich. It's not trending towards signing a deal. So did you get the sense, though, that is there a possibility or that they say, okay, yeah, listen, well, there's a possibility that we can get something done before we get into the meat and potatoes of the offseason, or was it one of these things where let's get into the offseason, see what happens?
I think it's a little bit of both, right? Yeah. So it's a little bit of let's see what happens, and it's also, you know, something could possibly happen before we get to the
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.